So now we are on the 31st of December. 1 year ends and another is about to begin. And whether we stay up to welcome in the new year this evening or go to bed before the bells above are played and ring out, tomorrow we will wake up to another year. The only difference in a way is that it will have a different number at the end of it. So with what kind of thoughts and hopes and concerns, anxieties or great expectations do we face what is ultimately an unknown future? Probably with mixed emotions, I would imagine. Someone with an ironic sense of humour and yet with a true sense of reality summed up the feelings of many. I can cope with disappointments. It is the hope I find difficult to manage. From a human point of view, one thing is certain, and that is that uncertainty is built into our lives. We do not know in detail what 2018 will bring, whether for good or not so good. Predictions may be made, and if you listen to the radio or watch television or whatever, lots of people are making predictions about 2018. Will the Republicans or will the Democrats win the majority in the House of Representatives later in the year, for example? But they are unlikely to be amazingly accurate about this. Unexpected events are likely to happen. So as we read the first page of a new book, we do not know either the plot or the end of the story, unless, of course, we cheat and read the last chapter first. We are kept in suspension until the last page is turned. But at the beginning of a new year, no last chapter nor final page has yet been written. It is part of our human nature, I believe, that we want to know the future so that we can be prepared for whatever it is that is coming. Not just business who wants to know the future, not just the City of London, but all of us. However, this power is not within our grasp. We may make plans, I'm sure we are already making plans, yet we know that they can be thwarted by unpredictable events beyond our control. Difficult times may be brought about by, for example, a natural disaster, or an accident, or an unexpected illness, or a sudden bereavement, a breakdown in relationships, or the loss of a job. At the same time, there may be real times of joy, a new birth in the family, perhaps, a wedding, a renewed fellowship, a friendship, or the offer of a job, or a swift recovery from a serious illness. One of the measures of a mature Christian faith is, I believe, the ability to cope with an unknown future, even to face it with a certain amount of enthusiasm. Paul learnt the secret of being content in every situation because he knew that God will meet all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. The eternal God, for those who love and trust him, is always there before us. As John on Patmos reminds us in the book of Revelation, he who is, was, and is to come. So God takes care of the past. He forgives. He heals bad memories. He covers over our bad mistakes, thus enabling us to go into the future free of guilt. He is with us now. He is Emmanuel, God with us, to guide and lead us into paths he is preparing for us to walk in. And he comes to us from an unknown future. Whatever may happen to us, to our family or people we know and care about, whether for good or not so good, God has already been there. This wonderful truth was summed up by Celtic Christians in spatial terms. God behind us, God beside us, and God before us. This is a solid foundation for those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus and live now to be his servant and to follow him. Sadly, those who are still ignorant of what Jesus has done for them to bring them into a living relationship with God cannot have this same assurance in the midst of uncertainty about the future. Their reality is part of the price of their wanting to maintain full control over their own lives rather than handing them over to Jesus, who knows all things. They too will be concerned about the unknown, but less able to cope when the unexpected hits. And now to our passage in Galatians chapter 4. Page 186, if you wish to turn to it. Such an attitude to the future is what Paul means in the passage from Galatians by being enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world, verse 3. Now these were understood to be powerful but indifferent and uncaring spiritual forces. And they were reckoned to control the outcome of a person's life, so they had to be placated by rituals of prayer and sacrifice in order to avoid misfortunes. Today, I suppose they could refer to anything related to magic powers, such as reading the stars or horoscopes, fortune-telling, consulting mediums. Everything that is designed to predict the future or to try to control it in our own individual self-interests and through merely human powers. Magic is one way of trying to manage the future by bypassing God. And it is not surprising, therefore, that it is totally forbidden in the scriptures. But these elemental spirits of which Paul talks could also refer to a spirit of fatalism, a spirit of resignation to the fact that life ultimately is a matter of blind chance, pure luck, a gamble, the way the cards are dealt, or whatever other phrase you wish to use. Fatalism holds people in bondage by encouraging people to believe that the universe is wholly impersonal, in which good and evil hit people in a totally random way. You know the well-known phrase, if your name is on it, you might as well submit to the destiny fate has decided for you. So whether we yield ourselves to the luck of the draw or try to control life through superstitious practices or religious observances, we were, says Paul, enslaved to powers much greater than ourselves. However, because he was writing to Christians, Paul describes this reality as something that happened in the past. We were enslaved, he says to the Galatians. We are liberated from the fear of the future. Christians are, of course, human beings. Like everyone else, they face the future with a certain amount of apprehension. It is part of being human. But what distinguishes those who know and love Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord is not their ability to control their emotions, but belief. Not a matter of how they feel, but what they know to be true. The great facts of God's action in Jesus Christ distinguish genuine hope from despair or a sense of foreboding. In this passage, in the letter to the Christians resident in the province of Galatia, Paul makes two great acclamations. First, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. Another translation you will find in some versions of the New Testament of the word redeem would be to purchase our freedom. God sent his Son to purchase our freedom. And in the context of our theme this morning, that could be applied to any anxiety we might have about being able to cope with whatever the future might hold. We know that fear paralyzes. We know that it clouds our judgment. So Jesus came to rescue us from a life at the mercy of false and harmful spiritual forces that blind people to the real truth of existence. Those who live in Christ may walk with total confidence into the future. You remember that Jesus' last words on earth to his disciples were, "I am with you always to the end of time." Secondly, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Verse 6. The consequence of this act is that the followers of Jesus can know that the one and only true God is not a remote deity, nor a vague spiritual force, nor a stern moral referee delighted to be able to wave yellow and red cards in our faces to punish our transgressions of the rules, nor just a cold, detached reason behind the universe. But God is Abba. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." And Abba is the most intimate of family relationships that one could imagine. What every father, I guess, in his best moments aspires to be to his children. Just, fair, compassionate, caring. So as we enter the new year, we know that the world is divided between those already liberated from oppressive forces by the sacrifice of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and those still subject to the power and pressures of the unknown. Between those who know through faith and personal experience that their loving Father holds their future totally in his control, and those struggling to come to terms with a seemingly arbitrary and callous existence. For us who believe in Jesus, God is to come. He is beside us and before us. What we know then, because God has come into our midst to rescue us from ignorance and lives alienated from our Creator, we are called to share humbly with others in lives of compassionate service and by courageously, but not presumptuously, telling the story of Jesus' birth, his liberating self-sacrifice, and the gift of the Spirit of grace. These are the facts of past and present history that alone can assure us of a meaningful 2018. If instead of trying to run our own lives, we consciously hand them over to Jesus, he will order them in the best possible way. So what an amazing message this is to take with us every new day, not just the first day of the year. Wherever we go, whatever we do, and whatever happens to us. Paul ends this passage, "You are no longer a slave, but a child of a heavenly Father by adoption." So let us live this freedom from fate and anxiety for the sake of others, resting in the arms of our heavenly Father, Abba, Father. Amen.